Good morning and welcome to our Wednesday chapel on this Thanksgiving Eve. Please join me on page 32 in the front part of the hymn book, page 32, with the first article and explanation to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. What does this mean? I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still preserves them, that he richly and daily provides me with food and clothing, home and family, property and goods, and all that I need to support this body and life, that he protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil, and all this purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am in duty bound to thank and praise, to serve and obey him, this is most certainly true. We join in our hymn. Our reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the 17th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Please be seated. Back in the 1860s, when our nation was at war with itself, the North and the South, fighting in the Great Civil War, President Lincoln felt that one thing that might help to unite the nation was to have a common day of Thanksgiving together. And so Thanksgiving was set aside as a national holiday. Some of the presidents following that established the final Thursday in the month of November to be the official time for that national holiday. And it's kind of ironic that today, Thanksgiving, which was supposed to be intended to be a day to think about the blessings, the earthly blessings we have from God, has kind of become such a secular holiday for us now that we focus more on the food we get to eat and the shopping we're going to do over the weekend and the football we're going to watch and so on. And it's interesting that this day that was intended to elevate our thoughts heavenward with gratitude to God for all that we have sometimes is treated by us in our culture as rather different than that. More recently, we've heard people talk about being thankful to someone, being thankful to a soldier or being thankful to a nurse or being thankful to somebody that serves you, and which is all good and fine. There are many people to whom we should be grateful, but the intent of Thanksgiving was our gratitude toward God. And the text in front of us so beautifully lays out how God is the one who gives all things. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, we are told by James. In this little conversation that Paul has at the Areopagus in Athens, it was a place where people would gather to discuss philosophical and religious things, maybe political things as well. But in this gathering, Paul now stands up and begins to speak to the people there in Athens. And he notices that they had recognized that there's something that this being up in heaven must have to do with their lives, or multiple beings. The Greeks often had a chapel or a little church or temple on about every corner in some of their cities to a variety of different gods. And Paul now has noticed that there's this one altar that's to the unknown God. And he begins with that and begins to speak to them about the true God. He says, you are very religious. You're very knowledgeable that there must be something up there. And he says, now what you worship is something unknown I am going to proclaim to you. God did not create us as people in order to just kind of toy with us and play with our lives. God created us because he wanted to have and wants to have a relationship with humanity that's different than any other creature that he has made. That's why our first parents were made in the image of God. It's God's desire that we would know him, would really know and understand who he is and the truth about him and what he thinks of us. But the problem is that knowledge of God cannot come from us. At best, what we can figure out from our end of things in our fallen state is there must be something up there that's big. There must be something up there that does something, but what? And so to know God cannot come from our world. God has to be the one that comes to us and proclaims to us who he is and explains to us who he is. And that's exactly why Paul begins now with this altar to an unknown God, and he says, I'm going to now teach you who this God actually is and explain to you who he is from his word. He says, he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he created every nation of men. And then this famous line, in him we live and move and have our being. Think what that means, okay? Just for you, for your life. In God, We live, we move, and we have our being. Our very existence is because of his existence and what he's done for us. Sometimes it's hard for me, I know, here living in this wonderful nation we get to live in, United States. Sometimes it's hard for me to really be grateful. And for myself, there are three reasons that I wrote down why it's challenging for me to be thankful and grateful to God. One is because we've lived in such high standards of living here in our country, I just expect it. I should just have this. There's just an expectation that I should get to live like this. And if things actually go down a little bit, whoa, something's wrong. It's interesting that in our American culture, there's a thought and a prevalent attitude that we should be able to live better than our parents did. Oh yeah, who guarantees us that? How many countries has that ever been a thought in? Just think what blessings we have in our country, that we get so used to that we assume we should be able to live better than our parents did. Second one for me, I have a tendency to lose perspective on the blessings that I have and how wonderful they are, because here in this country, there are always people that have more than I do. Because there's always somebody that's got it a little better than I do. My eyes gravitate toward that, rather than to the 95% of the world over whom I have more blessings, more earthly blessings than they do. And finally, the third challenge I have is this. I can often start to feel that the things I get to enjoy in my life, they just come from Don. They just come from me. Because of all the work I do and all the things that I do, it's very easy for me to forget the connection all these things have back to heaven and to God himself. Now, St. Paul is addressing this gathering of people in Athens in hopes of getting them to see and understand not just what their earthly blessings are about, but who this God is and what he's truly done for them. And in order to do that, he begins to take them toward the cross of Christ, and to see how this God who gives them all the earthly stuff that they acknowledge in their lives is far more than just that. He has given them, through the gift of his Son coming to pay for their sins and the resurrection from the dead, he has come to give them far more than just the earthly blessings they can enjoy in this life. And so for us today, too, true thanksgiving before God will take us to the cross first, will take us to the empty tomb, will take us to the places where we see what our Lord has come to do for us, not to make this life so good. And yes, we can enjoy this life, and there's a lot of good here. But to think of the grand life that we have waiting for us because of his great sacrifice for us. And what that means for you and me is this. When we come to know that and understand that the real purpose of God's wanting to have us know him is that we could get out of our grave someday and go live in heaven forever, where there is perfect bliss and all the blessings you could ever want. When we come to see and understand that by faith, we can go back to any status that we're living in this world. Irregardless of what poverty or wealth or wherever you're at on the social economic ladder, and we can still be grateful to God for whatever we have, knowing what's coming for us. About 20 years ago, I remember reading a magazine. It was a magazine about missionary work that was being done down in South America. And there was an article in this magazine that really, sometimes there are certain stories that really hit you in the face. And this one really got me. It was a story about a man who was probably in his 40s, had a few children and a wife, and the house that he lived in had a dirt floor and was made out of reeds. The walls were just made out of like mesh reeds that he had woven together. This man lived in just abject poverty. But he had been blessed to come to find out about Christ as his Savior. And he had now had his children baptized. And they were all sitting in Sunday school and learning lessons about their Savior. And somebody, one of the missionaries who wrote this article, had sat down and just interviewed this man. And as you read through the article, I was just struck by how happy he was. And I thought to myself how much happier he sounded than I would. And how much happier he probably sounded than a lot of the Christians I knew living here in America, with probably 50 to 100 times the wealth that this man knew. How could he be so content? How could he be so happy? It's because he found out about his Savior. And he knew what that meant for his future. And it allowed him to now to take that knowledge of heaven that was waiting for him and to look at anything he had in life and be grateful. And that's really what our God would have us do on this Thanksgiving time, is wherever you're at in life, rather than grumbling about the things we don't have and how much others have more than us, to look at what he's done for us on the cross, to know what that means for our future, to know what he has waiting and prepared for us, and to take that window of seeing that and look back at all the stuff we get to have in this life and the blessings we enjoy, and just appreciate them with tremendous gratitude. Blessed Thanksgiving. Let us rise and join our hearts in prayer. The other day, a horrible earthquake hit the city of Tirana, the capital of Albania. We have a number of students on our campus from Albania. And sad to say, 26 people were killed in this earthquake. 650 so far we know have been injured. There are many who are still lost in the rubble, and we'd like to offer a prayer today on behalf of the natives of that country. And we're happy to report so far that none of the family members have been injured in that. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, at this time of great tragedy and loss, we come before you asking that you would be with our students and their family members from Albania. We are grateful that you have spared their lives. Continue to provide them with safety during the numerous aftershocks of this earthquake. According to your will, guide the rescue efforts and the medical treatment of those who are injured, that more lives may be spared. In your word, you instruct us that great disasters are reminders of our need for repentance and faith as we wait our Savior's return. Keep us always watchful by trusting in him for our hope of heaven. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. As our nation celebrates this Thanksgiving weekend, we are grateful for the many earthly blessings you grant to us. May we always be mindful that all of our gifts come from your gracious hand. Grant safety to those who travel in the coming days. We ask all of this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.